Luke's Gospel, the 15th chapter. I want to pick this up in verse 20. Luke's Gospel, 15th chapter. And I want to pick this up in verse 20. Welcome all of you who are watching online, Facebook Live, live streaming this service. I pray that the same anointing that permeates this atmosphere meet you right where you are, speak to your heart, turn some things around in your life. Luke's Gospel, the 15th chapter. Verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes, sandals, on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. I want to preach to you from the subject, the homecoming. Spirit of the living God, come into this place in this moment to do what only you can do. We know that it's not by power nor by might, but it's by your spirit that things can move. So we welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place, and we say, have your way. Illuminate this word for us, Holy Ghost, that we might see ourselves in the text, that we might understand how much the Father loves us, that we might realize this is our homecoming. Let this word cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. Let it cause us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive this word. Anoint our ears that we're able to hear it. The most important thing today, God, is that you have your way. We don't need a whole lot for that to happen. All we need is to show up. And then that's when you show out. So, Father, I'm asking that you just show out this morning. Do it in the next 15, 20 minutes and just blow the roof off the place. And we'll give you praise for that. In Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Come on, show them everything God has blessed you with. Gold teeth or missing teeth are included. Come on, look them dead in the eye and say, today is your homecoming. Today, find two or three people before you sit down and say, today is your homecoming. Yeah. We're entering into a season of the homecoming, and schools, high schools, and colleges all over the country in the next few weeks will be having their homecomings. A homecoming is not a reunion. It's not simply a reunion, because a reunion is when you've been away and you come back to let everybody know what you look like, or find out how other people look 10 years from when you graduated. That's called a reunion. But a homecoming is quite different, because a homecoming is an annual tradition. It happens every year. It happens every year, and it happens every year in towns and in high schools and in colleges, where people come together and they come together to welcome back alumni, people who were a part of the institution and graduated from the institution, to still let them know that they are a part of the institution. Because once you were a part of the institution, you're never not a part of the institution. Look at your neighbor and say, this is your homecoming. This is your homecoming. It is the story of the prodigal son that I have tried to illuminate to you last week, to cause you to understand some nuances about this story that are quite unique. And it is often that we've come to this particular text and we have reduced it to something simple, as Jesus talking about the welcoming of the Gentiles and the Jews coming together to form this thing called Christianity. But I want to put this in your spirit, and I want to do it immediately, is deeper than that. Go ahead, look at your neighbor and say, it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. The reason it's deeper than that is because of the subject matter in particular. The subject matter comes from a discrepancy that the Pharisees have with Jesus while he was sitting down talking to some publicans and sinners. And then Jesus immediately will go into telling a couple of parables. One was of a lost sheep, where he says, if you had 99 sheep, would you not leave them behind and go after and get the one that was lost? He also talked about the lost coin with the same inference. But then he goes into a deeper story where he talks about a father who has two sons. And one of the sons decides to go to the father and ask the father for his inheritance. And the father gives him his inheritance. And he does this without any recrimination to the son. It was really an insult to the father for the son to ask the father for his inheritance while the father was still alive. Because in the Jewish culture, that's like saying, Daddy, I wish you were dead. It's like saying, Dad, I don't need you around anymore. It's like saying, I know what's best for me, and I don't need you to be a part of my life, holding on to something that belongs to me. I'm ready for it now. What amazes me about the story is that the father gives the son his portion of the inheritance without any type of recrimination. In other words, he does it without rebuttal. He does it without rebuke. He says, here, it is yours, my son, and he lets him go. This created a legal problem for the father, because if the son would go and sell off his portion of his inheritance, he would now, my God, split the father's land and divide it within the household. And the father, if you will, in that culture, would be the laughing stock of all of the town, because what he worked for, what he bled for, to be an inheritance for his children, has now been sold off to somebody else, and it would make the father look ridiculous. But the father did not think of how he would look ridiculous. He just wanted to bless his son, and he decided that he was going to go ahead and give him his portion. We learned last week that he gave him his portion, but he did not give him his full purpose, because the inheritance that the father really had in store for him can only be released in full when the father had passed away. So the father didn't give him everything. He just gave him a portion, a piece of. And the reason he gave him a portion and a piece of was because he wasn't ready for the full package. There were some things that the son had to learn. I suggested to you last week that in this particular narrative, there's something very powerful about this story. And I presented to you that the son and the father in the text just simply represent something deeper than three individual people. What it truly, in my mind, represents is a distinct aspect of ourselves. The reason why it represents a distinct aspect of ourselves is because God made us in three parts, my God, body, soul, and spirit. And when God made us in this way, he was doing it in a reflection of who he was: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If we ever really look at that and understand it, we would always look at and see see whenever we look at scripture that God always has a part of him doing some work that's separate from where he is in location. So if God is in heaven, they always had a representative here down in the earth that was a part of the Godhead. We know that because in the book of Genesis, we see in the creation that when darkness was upon the face of the deep and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, and God spoke, but he didn't do it from within the earth. He did it from the heavens while the Spirit was in the earth, and he said, "My God, let there be light." And the Spirit moved, and light was, and creation began to be. Well, if we take that same mindset and we take it to the text and we look at what's going on in the story, we have a father who has two sons, and it's one son who's left home and is separated, and it's another son who's still there. Those three distinct aspects of yourself is the part of you that decides it's going to misalign from the father and leave. That's the rebellious part. That's the prodigal part, because prodigal means wasteful. And the prodigal part decides that I'm going to go and step outside of God's time frame and step outside of what God wants to do. And it's the prodigal part that creates a lot of mud. But there's purpose in the pigsty that you find yourself in when you decide to separate from your source. I know you're sitting there looking at me like, "Pastor, I don't know if you're talking to me, but I'm actually really, really, totally talking exactly to you." If you really want to be honest about it, you've had some times in your life where you have decided to separate from your source, take matters into your own hand, and you created a hot mess. Oh, I don't have a lot of time to get you there, but look at your neighbor and say, "He is talking to me right now. He's talking to me." And it is in the mess that you find your purpose. It is in the pigsty that you find your purpose. It is in the mess, it is in the mud where God produces a miracle, because God likes to play in the mud. I know that God likes to play in the mud, because just like in the story, when the creation narrative came to be, the Bible says darkness upon the face of the deep, and it was void and it was empty. The sky had collapsed and nothing was in its proper form and order, and the earth was just one big glob of mud, and the waters didn't know where it needed to go, and the earth was sunk under the water. And when you got water and dirt, it produces mud. And now you got the Spirit of God hovering over the mud, waiting for a word from the Lord to come to correct the mud and bring back the earth to where it's supposed to be. Look at your name and say, "God's about to correct your mud. God's about." I'm not going to blow my voice out trying to get you excited about it. God's about to correct your mud. And if you sit here and act like you don't have none, you're going to miss your miracle. If you sit here and act like you ain't a little dirty, you're going to miss your deliverance. If you sit here and act like y'all ain't here with me, that you're not misaligned from the Father, you're going to miss an opportunity to come back to your source where you can lift your hands and say, "God, my hands is off of it. Just take me back just as I am." Yeah. We know that in the story that the son decides that after spending some time in the pigsty that he's going to go home. And he says to himself, he comes to himself, and no angel shows up. He just comes to his senses. He makes a choice and a decision. No prophet comes to town and says, "Get out of this pigsty." No, he found out something about himself in the pigsty, which means the father let him go and lose everything he had and find the pigsty, but was still looking for the son, knowing that he was in the pigsty waiting for him to come home. The son finds out this thing that he realizes that the servants in my father's house have it better than me. Why am I sitting here, my God, in a pigsty longing to eat the food that the pigs eat? And he decides that he's going to go home. Now, here's what messes me up, and here's where I want to go real quick to get you where we need to go, because y'all trying to sit on me, but it's going to be all right, because Pastor ain't scared of your face. He ain't scared of your face. The Bible says that the son decides he's going to go back home, and when he goes home, he's going to go home with an excuse that he has sinned against heaven and that he is not worthy to be called a son.
And that's how he decides to go home. And when he goes home, the father sees him afar off. The father doesn't stay in the house. The father runs to where his son is. The father doesn't stay in the house. The father runs to where his son is. The father doesn't stay in the house. The father runs to where his son is. You don't hear what I'm saying? If the father would have stayed in the house, then everybody that knew the father would have saw the son in his condition. The son already had to walk from a foreign country covered in mud and filthy rags with no shoes on just to get back home and suffer the ridicule of all the haters and the naysayers that said, I told you so, and we knew you wouldn't be anything. Y'all give me a little bit more volume in my microphone. And said all these things about you, and now watching you come back in filthy rags. But the father knows who you really are, and he's not about to let it go down like that. So when he sees you afar off, the father comes running to you. You don't come running to him. Aren't you glad that the father came running to you? The father came running to the son because the son was clothed in filthy rags. Can you imagine and put yourself and your senses in the text? You've been living in a pigsty, but you found your purpose. You didn't have time to change your clothes because you were just in a rush to get back to the father. So you didn't have time to worry about what people thought about you. You just had to get back to the father. Oh God, you didn't have time to shower. You didn't have time to shave. You couldn't get your hair did. You couldn't get your nails. You just had to get back to the Father. Because when you find your purpose, the pigsty doesn't matter. All you want to do is come home to let everybody know, I don't belong there. I belong here. Oh, I think prophetically you need to assert yourself and let the devil know, I don't belong there, I belong here. You tried to imprison me in this pigsty, but I came to my senses. I got a mind makeover. I woke up and said, I don't belong here. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't belong here. I don't belong broke. I wish I had somebody in here. I don't belong to be broke. Broke doesn't belong to me. This is my winning season. I wish I had somebody to talk to. I don't belong, my God. Defeat doesn't belong in my life. Hurt doesn't belong in my life. Light doesn't belong in my life. Sickness doesn't belong in my life. Slap your neighbor high five. This is my winning season. I dare you to prophetically proclaim right now, everything attached to me is going to win. My kids are going to win. My business is going to win. My family is going to win. My community is going to win. My church is. I'm just waiting for it to sink into your spirit. Everything attached to me. Yeah. My ideas are about to win. My goals are about to win. My vision is about to. Oh, this is my winning season. Sit down. Watch this. Watch this. The Father. Y'all give me 10 minutes. The father runs to the son because the son is still covered in filthy rags. But the son has enough sense that he can come to the father covered in filthy rags. The Bible describes our righteousness as filthy rags. Can you see the imagery of the son who has decided that he was going to tell the father he's not worthy to be a son? And as he's trying to say it to the father ignores his commentary. God will ignore your commentary about your circumstance because you've come to a conclusion that's not true. I wish I had somebody here. You do not get to determine who's worthy and what's worthy and how God blesses you. I just want to talk to somebody who understands what I'm talking about. You don't get to determine that. And stop letting other people determine your worth. They can determine what they're going to pay you, but they cannot determine what you're actually worth. So I might have an hourly wage job right now, but that's not what I'm worth. I wish I had somebody to talk to. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm worth more than that. The reason I'm worth more than that is because I'm a one and only. I wish I had limited edition. You ain't ever gonna get somebody like me on the earth again. Oh, slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm a limited edition, baby. I'm priceless. I wish I had some folk in here that really understood what I'm talking about. When you're priceless, you handle yourself differently. And you won't let folk handle you no old type of way. You're priceless. You're priceless because there can't be another you. God built you with your own identity, so much so that you got your own print within your fingers that identifies who you are, and nobody else can have your print. They can copy your print, but they cannot have yours. So the best version we can get of you is a counterfeit. Don't allow you to go through life being a counterfeit version of who God created you to be. You're a limited edition, babe. God knew that you were so priceless that he would not allow you to come back to him covered in filthy rags. He's not going to let the party see you covered in filthy rags. He didn't let the world see his creation covered in filthy rags. When Adam and Eve fell from grace, I wish I had a church in here. When they fell from grace and they tried to cover themselves with insignificant fig leaves, God says, I'm not going to let you be a counterfeit version of who you are. I know you're naked and you feel the shame, but I'll cover you in skin so that you don't have to feel uncovered. Because their original design glory covered them. So God sacrificed, read your scripture in Genesis 3. He killed an animal to cover them in skin. So whenever the Father is going to give you a new cover, there's got to be a blood sacrifice. Whenever God's about to give you a new cover, there's got to be a blood sacrifice. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I know it was the blood. I wish I had a church in here. That's why in the text, the father comes and says, give him the robe, give him the ring, give him the sandals, but kill the fatty cat. Slap your neighbor high five and say, you about to get a new cover. You about to take off that garment of heaviness and you're about to be covered in the, watch me now, garment of praise. You're about to take off those filthy rags and God's about to cover you in the robe of righteousness. The Father sees the Son. I should have made this an illustrated sermon. The Father sees the Son coming in filthy rags and his feet are bleeding and he's covered in mud and the mud has hardened and become dirt. Oh God, so there's about to be a new creation that's about to take place. Oh, can't you see it? Can't you see Israel being exiled, not knowing that they were a people of promise and having to come back to the land that God told them that they would have? Can't you see man falling from grace and God saying, I'll cover you with the badger skin of a sacrifice so that you don't have to know your shame? I wish I had a church in here. Can't you see the imagery when the Son is returning to the Father covered in filthy rags? His clothes are tattered and they are worn and they are filthy. But the Father says, I see you from a long way off. And when I get to you, I'm going to kiss your neck because the dirt doesn't bother me. And I'm going to call for my servants and keep you right here before we bring you into the homecoming. Because when they see you in the homecoming, they're not going to see you in your filthy rags. They're going to see you in the best robe. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, God is about to give me the best robe. Uh-huh. The best robe is the robe of righteousness. It's the robe I did not earn. It's the robe I'm not supposed to have. It's the robe that's... It's the robe I'm not supposed to have. It's the best robe. The best robe is the Father's robe. That's why he tells the servants, go get the best robe. It's the Father's robe. I feel like preaching it here. And he goes and gets the robe, which is the robe of righteousness, as Isaiah 61:10 says, when it says you can exchange beauty for ashes and the oil of joy, my God, for mourning, huh? Where the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you because he's anointed you in Isaiah 60. And because he has anointed you, that you can now exchange what you got on for what God has for you. And when he does that, even when the folk that know you won't support you, he'll send strangers to feed your flocks and the son of the farmers to be your plowmen and your vine dressers, because the folk that know you're going to criticize you. So God said, no problem, I'll send strangers, because strangers don't know your story. You don't hear what I'm saying. And I'll clothe you in a robe of righteousness, and I'll adorn you like a bride is adorned. And the Bible says in Isaiah 61 that even the husbandman don't get dressed up. So he's about to throw this elaborate party and this elaborate homecoming. I'm almost there. I got about 2 minutes to go. And as he throws this elaborate homecoming, he doesn't let the son get to the house in filthy rags. God is not about to let you get into the house with filthy rags. It's not the filthy rags keep you out the house. No. Don't get it twisted. He's just not about to let everybody see you in the filthy rags. So he covers you. Wow, God, you don't hear what I'm saying. So he covers you while you got the rags on. So underneath the best robe is still the filthy rags. So I'm going to go into the party with my past on me, but my future covering me. It's the only way I'm going to do my dance, because nobody knows what's really underneath of this robe of righteousness. Oh, you didn't hear that. You didn't hear that. Slap your neighbor and say, if you knew like I knew, if you knew like I knew, if you knew what was really on underneath of all this right here. If you really knew. If we undressed you right now, if we took off the robe of righteousness, we would see the dirt and we would see the mud and we would see the blood and you would smell like a pig. You would be nasty. But the Father's robe, I wish I had help in here, but the Father's robe covered you. The text doesn't say, tell the servants, get a bath. The text doesn't say, tell the servants, get them cleaned up. The text doesn't say, tell the servants, wipe all that off of them. No, the text says, tell the servants, go get my best robe. Because I'll take my best robe and cover your filthy rags. And if somebody gets a little bit of inkling of what you look like underneath, I'll put my ring on your hand to let everybody know you got the power of the Father. That keeps their mouth off of you, because you got authority and power over scorpions and serpents. Slap your neighbor and say, I ain't just got the robe, I also got the ring. That ring represents power and authority over my critics and over my naysayers. The Father gives you a robe. The Father gives you a ring. If I had time, I'd go in on it. I go in on it. That ring is a signet ring. It says that you are a part of my house and that you are a part of my family, and nobody can put their mouth on you. It says that you are heir and worthy of an inheritance. And if the son who was lost everything in his squandering, then the father would have never gave him a ring. Slap your neighbor high five and say, God got some more stuff for you. I have not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for you. I dare you to slap your neighbor high five and say, God's got some more stuff for you. Houses that you didn't build, fields that you didn't plant in, vineyards that you didn't labor over, land. There's an anointing for land right now. There's an anointing for homes right now. There's an anointing for property. If you want property, there's an anointing for it right now. There's an anointing for it right now. Touch God, God. Touch right now. Hey, touch right now. Touch right now. Hey, shetobo. There's an anointing for it. Hey, shetobo. Right now. Right now. Right now. There's an anointing for it right now. The Bible says lands. I see you. Lands that you didn't build. Vineyards that you didn't plant. God's got some stuff for you that you did not know he had. Stay right where you are. Stay right where you are. Stay right where you are. The father gives him the ring. And listen. Then the father gives him sandals. Because he's not about to let you walk into the party with the dust of your past on your feet. He covers you. He covers you. He didn't even clean you yet. We so busy trying to clean, and God so busy trying to cover. That's why he's telling the story to the Pharisees. You got so busy trying to clean. I'm trying to cover. Because I know I can clean you. I know I can clean you. But if the prerequisite for you coming back home is to be clean, a bunch of us ain't gonna make it. And what difference does it make if you're not clean on the inside? The Pharisees was all about being clean on the outside, but they were black on the inside. He gives them sandals, a robe, and a ring. The robe is the robe of righteousness. The ring is the signet of the Father that you have power and authority. The sandals is the gospel of peace that your feet are shod with, that you're walking in the gospel. The gospel says that he lived, he died, and he rose. You don't hear me. You're walking in the gospel. You don't hear what I'm saying. You're walking in living. You're walking in dying. And you're walking in resurrection power. So your life at times will look like you're living. And at times it will look like you're dying. But it can never stay dead because you got resurrection power. Oh! Says kill the fatted calf because there has to be a blood sacrifice
when you get a new cover. He can't do it without a sacrifice. And Jesus became that sacrificial lamb. He became that sacrificial lamb and shed his blood for us so that we can have a new cover, so that the stench of what we chose to live in doesn't follow us all the days of our life. This is your homecoming. This is your homecoming. It's your party. It's where God says, welcome home. The only person at the party who has a problem with you is you. That's next Sunday's message. Because the son that stayed is you. The son that left is you. The only consistent thing in the text is the Father. Everybody's having a good time at the homecoming, except for the part of you that can't forgive yourself. You mess it up. You were prodigal. The reason you could be prodigal is because of your father. You could only be wasteful because of the resources of the father. It's the only reason you could be prodigal and still be purposeful. So you wasted some stuff and you messed up some stuff. And this is not a story about a second chance. It's deeper than that. This is about a story of getting back in alignment with your source. When I said there's an anointing for property down here, I meant that thing. Some people took off running because they believed it by faith. They didn't need an explanation for it. See, that's called being aligned to your source. When God speaks a word, you run after that thing because he's running after his word. I will hasten after my word to perform it. And me saying that there's an anointing for property is not blasphemy. It's scriptural. God told the children of Israel, I'll give you houses that you didn't build, land that you did not own. So that means you got to get up and go after and go out and look for the property and watch God move. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift those hands all over this church. This is your homecoming. God wants to throw you a party. This is the time to celebrate. This is your winning season. I'm going to say it again. This is your winning season. Everything attached to you wins. No, shut up. My God, I feel that thing deep down in my spirit. I feel that thing deep down in my spirit. Everything attached to me. This is your winning season. This is your winning season. This is your winning season. You're going to win the bid for the property. This is your winning season. I feel an anointing. I feel a unique anointing in this room. This is your winning season. You're going to win. Because this is your homecoming. And your father's saying, welcome home. I know they talked about you, but welcome home. I know they counted you as dead, but welcome home. I know you left me, but welcome home. I know you started calculating your faith instead of having crazy faith, but welcome home. You can't calculate it. I was in the meeting. You can put your hands down. I'm closing. If you came down here for property, stay where you are. I'm going to pray for you. I was in a meeting that is just crazy. I was in a meeting. I don't want to talk about it, but I feel inclined to share it. I'm sitting there meeting with an award-winning film producer, president of his own media company. If I started saying his movies and said his name, y'all be like, oh, my God. And it's so scary to me, I don't want to talk about it.
That's how scary it is, because I don't understand. And I'm sitting in the meeting, and the Holy Ghost said, do it scared. Y'all not even in a room. Do it scared. I'm in an area I know nothing about. And I found myself like this for a year and a half. God sending me out. Me painting a new canvas. And him covering me. And me thinking that accomplishing this was all there is. And God said, no, that was just your practice. I had to give you something to be faithful over. So I gave you a little. This was a little. As big as you think it is, in God's mind, it's a little. I gave you a little to make you ruler over much. I had to give you something to fumble. It's like giving your child, when they get their license, the beat-up car. I didn't give my kids a beat-up car. I gave them a new car. If I give you the beat-up car, you're going to crash that. But if I give you something that you value and respect, you're going to be like, don't touch my car. Different mindset. So I didn't give my son a beat-up car. I gave him a new car. He never crashed it. Now my daughter might get his car. I don't know. I don't see, man. I'm just kidding. And I was in that meeting terrified. The Lord said, do it scared. So I started giving him my ideas and my concepts. He picks up the phone, calls two other producers. I can't say their names, but if I did, you'd be like, what? Like, yeah, that just happened. And he goes, I'm sitting down talking to this guy, blah, 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 blah. And he puts us on conference. And everybody's like, that's fire. When you going to do it? When you going to love? When you going to set it off? And I'm like, Jesus. Jesus. Are you serious right now? And God said, it's winning season, son. It's winning season. It's winning season. And you got to learn not to apologize for winning. Y'all ain't ready for me. Stop apologizing for winning. Stop beating yourself up because you think you're not worthy or don't deserve it. Oh, this shouldn't be your life, or you shouldn't have this. And I'm not talking about materialistic stuff. I'm talking about a mindset, a lifestyle. This is your winning season. And I want you to understand that. Go on one more time, lift those hands. Father, I thank you. This is our homecoming. You are welcoming us home to return to our source. So you give us some things. You give us the robe of righteousness. You give us the ring of power. And you give us the gospel of peace. Our feet is shod with it, so that when we can walk in the power of the gospel, because you've already shed your blood for us, and we don't have to worry about our imperfections, and we can move in your grace, and we can move in your goodness, and we can move in the understanding that you love us, and you made us fearfully and wonderfully, and you know everything about us, so we have nothing to fear. You know our filthy rags. You know what's underneath of all of this. You know our mindsets and our proclivities. You already know it. And yet says, I still love you. And I still want to send you. And I still want to use you. And I still got stuff for you. And I still want to bless you. Because that's the goodness of the Father. So Father, I thank you that we walk into our homecoming covered in the robe of righteousness, but with the knowledge of the filthy rags, because that's what makes the dance so good, that we know underneath of all of this is some mess that God produced a miracle out of. Underneath of all of this is some mud where I found my purpose. Underneath of all of this is my history and my story that makes me triumphant, that keeps me pressing, that keeps me going. Underneath of all of this is a history that only you can truly know about. And because you cover me the way you do, all I can say is thank you. So I'm coming home, Daddy. I'm coming back to your arms. I'm coming back to your precepts. I'm coming back to your word. I'm going back to trusting you. I'm going back to standing and having done all stand. I'm going back to giving. I'm going back to tithing. I'm going back to forgiving. I'm going back to loving. I'm going back to the principles that got me to where I am. This is my homecoming. Thank you, Father, for welcoming us home. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Come on, give God the best shout of praise you got. Come on, give him the best shout of praise. Hallelujah. I want to pray for y'all that came down for property, so stay where you're at. Everybody else, lift your hand. Come on, all over the church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you. I hear you, Holy Ghost. I'm sorry. I got to disrupt this service. I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit just did this to me. And I'm going to be obedient because that's the, I made him a promise. I'm going back. I don't care what you think about me. That there, the Holy Spirit just said to me, that some of you are in this room, that your homecoming requires a sacrifice. It requires a sacrifice. And so the Holy Spirit just said, and this is for those who it speaks to. If you're going to talk about me, talk about me. God bless you. I don't care. But for those that it speaks to, the Holy Spirit says, get a sacrificial seed in your hand right now and run it to this altar. For those that it speaks to, you know who you are, and you know that you have not been trusting God in the area of giving. You have not been trusting God where your finances are concerned. Don't tip them. Don't tip them. Give them something that's a sacrifice. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts. Don't tip them. Give them something that you wouldn't give them. Come on. Do it right now. Run it. Run it. Bring it to this altar. You don't need an envelope. If you got a check, just bring the check down here. Just do it. Just do it. Move by spirit. Just do it. Just do it. You haven't been trusting him. You've been leaning on everything except him. Come on, do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Your seed could be 20, could be 50, could be 100, could be 200, could be 300. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, do it. 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 Quickly. Quickly. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, come on, do the worship.
Hallelujah, sing hallelujah.
We sing
hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come on, come on, move. Move, 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 move.
We sing
hallelujah. You can put it anywhere, anywhere on the altar. It ain't got to be right here. Anywhere. Lift those hands all over the church. If you're still moving, you can move. I just want to get us out of here. Lift those hands. May the Lord God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you, give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. And may his blood cover you from now unto eternity. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. God bless you. We love you. I'll pray for everybody that's down here. God bless you. Get home safely. We'll see you Wednesday night.
Lord, I love you. I adore you.
I adore you.
With my whole heart.
With my whole heart.
I will bless you.
I will bless you.
Lord,